Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program today. And once again, we are joined by our friend, our colleague, and partner in the great battle of our times, Tana Gertz from Iowa. She is a member of the National Advisory Team for Trump 2020 and Women for Trump. Tana, great to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me. It's always a wonderful time to be with you.
You know, things have been happening with the campaign. Elections 2020 are well underway, and I think it's a good thing that they get started so early because there's so much at stake and there's so much to prepare for. One of the developments, of course, now is that these various coalitions are being brought together, Women for Trump being one of them. I know this summer we're also getting together the pro-life coalition that I will be part of, and various other sort of advisory networks. Tell our viewers, first of all, what these kinds of networks and coalitions are all about, how they serve the campaign, and then, of course, tell us more about the Women for Trump.
Well, thank you for allowing me to expel on that. Thank you for allowing me to explain that, and that's a wonderful question. The reality is what we've realized is that there is such a diverse group of people who support our president, and there are subjects that really do matter. For example, you mentioned pro-life. That was a turning point in the campaign when President Trump turned at the debate to Hillary Clinton and said, "I am pro-life."
Yes.
That was the moment that a lot of people went, that is our president. I knew it was our president months before that. However, that was a defining moment. So people that are pro-life are going to get together, as well as Veterans for Trump are going to get together, and Women for Trump are going to get together throughout these various coalitions, so that what we can do is activate the people within that coalition to go out and be team leaders and organizers of their own events and networks. So really what we're doing the second time around, now that we have a much bigger, budget and a much bigger Trump team, is we are having these coalitions so that we can activate and empower the people within these various groups to go out and do more and show their unapologetic support for our president. And we did that last night here in Des Moines for an Empower Women event that was wonderful and very successful.
Now, I know there were a number of Women for Trump events, weren't there, yesterday in various parts of the country. Tell us, how extensive was this?
That is true. There was 13 Women for Trump Empower Women events last evening in various states, the states that matter. So this go around in 2020, everything's a little more different because now we have data and we know where do we need to be going. Specifically, what city in that state do we need to be going? So data driven, yep. We're going to those events. When I went with some of the other lovely ladies that I know you have frequently on your show to the first launch of the Women for Trump Coalition, we went to Pennsylvania, but specifically King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, because data showed we needed to go there. We needed to make a presence, and women wanted us to come there. So we went, had a huge, huge event, had a little mega rally, in a sense, without the president, and we were able, from that event, 1,000 women showed up. We were able to gather 30,000 women to join the Women for Trump Coalition. So we started small, we built, and we're getting bigger. So then from there, the campaign was able to decipher what 13 states or 13 cities would it be important for us to do these national Empower Women events.
Right.
And fortunately for me, one was right in my backyard. Even if it wasn't, I would have went, but in Iowa. And we hit it right out of the park. We had a great time. We had a ton of media there. And they were putting cameras in women's faces saying, "Why do you support them?" And then I did my usual motivate, inspire, empower spiel that got them all ready to go, fired up, as we say, and go out and show their unapologetic support for President Trump.
you know, there are so many different issues, and a lot of these different coalitions will focus on the various issues. You mentioned veterans. We mentioned pro-life, obviously the women. What are some of the other coalitions that you know of that will be part of the campaign?
The only other one that I know for sure has started up is faith-based. And I don't know if that's in the pro-life bucket or if that's in just faith-based. Mm-hmm. But like the personal, or President Trump's personal pastor, Paula White, she's a part of that.
Oh,
and
yes.
Some other very wonderful women. So the faith-based coalition is very important because we want to get the message out that our president is prayed for. Our president prays for the future of the United States of America.
Right.
And we pray for him and we pray for his family, as I know you do and a lot of your followers do. So the faith-based coalition is another one. And people of faith are very important because we want the world to know, and we want for sure Americans to know that this is a president that has God on his side and that is moving in a God-led way and treats people. People say sometimes he's harsh. Well, he may be harsh, but guess what? He's not hateful, and he's not doing things that aren't in accordance with what the Lord would want him to do. So faith-based would be the only other one that I know for sure is up and running, and I can get back to you on if we should have more that I'm not aware of.
Yes. Now, you know, in regard to faith, I was recently on a couple of calls with some of the team at the White House and some folks in Congress, too, about the steps that the president is taking to strengthen religious liberty. I mean, it's unbelievable how many different mechanisms there are whereby with his executive authority, he can essentially point to and strengthen the enforcement of existing laws that protect people of conscience. So I was on one of the calls recently that was explaining, it seems like he's taking another step practically every day.
I know.
And this is, you know, it gets into the fine detail that most of our fellow citizens are unaware of, but I think what we want to encourage them about here is we've got a president that when it comes to people of faith, when it comes to believers, not only individuals but their institutions and their churches, he is fighting for us against a godless left. They're godless.
Yes.
They want to erase religion from the public square. They want to make believers feel like they have to choose between following their faith and following the law. But the president and his team are looking at all the provisions of federal law, and there are many, that protect conscience. And as you know, I mean, he's strengthening those protections. He's telling federal agencies, be aware of those protections. And he's also doing something else. He established in under the Department of HHS, an office for conscience protection that wasn't there before.
Wow.
He said to people all across America, if you feel that your conscience is being violated by the government, send us a complaint. Let us know. And our office will indeed look into it and see how we can defend you. And prior to the opening of that office, a few complaints here and there were trickling in. But as soon as they made that announcement, they have been flowing in by the hundreds and hundreds and thousands. And it's like, wow, this president is really serious. And that's why, as you see, I have his picture right behind me here in our studio. And sometimes I'm sitting here talking about the Bible and I'm talking about prayer. And people say, well, why do you have his picture over there? Why President Trump is over there? And I say, listen, if he weren't where he is, we wouldn't be where we are.
No, you wouldn't be able to have the liberties that you have being able to be this priest that's talking about life and pro-life and speaking for the unspoken and the unborn. I mean, this is a man that's fighting for our liberties, and you hit the nail on the head. It's like, how can you think that this man is a bad man when he's trying to do so many things that are good, that are for the good? What could be the harm in having people pray more or be more conscious or to use the word God or be allowed to use the word God in public schools? Well, you know, I remember when they were trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, and President Trump was like, absolutely not, in God we trust or whatever. I mean, he is all about that. And when people spew that hatred, there's a part of me that goes, are they missing God in their life. And,
right.
And, you know, it's like, where has God gone from the whole equation? I just woke up today to a nasty email from a man that literally had to go to my website, heytana.com. Then he had to go to the contact page. Then he had to go to the book Tana page. Then he had to go to what presentation does he want Tana? And out of like 10 presentations, Father Frank, he chose the God will never fire you presentation. And then the stuff that he wrote in the description of what he wants me to know about the group was so vile, was so vulgar, was filled with profanities. It was so disgusting that I read that to my 24-year-old son, because he was right there when I had my breakfast. And I said, wow, to think that this man went to step 1, 2, 3, 4 to write this, where's God? Like, that's filled with hate.
It is.
And it's like, what are we living in? But we are living in a world where nobody's thinking about someday needing to meet their maker and to have to account for what did you do to that woman that was really just trying to spread light and love?
Yes.
Hello.
You know, and what you're saying about the vile attacks, you know, it is a common consensus that no president has been more viciously attacked than President Trump.
I know.
Now, I think we know the reason, because he's really advancing the American agenda. And so for those that hate America, for those that hate the faith, that hate life, he's a big threat. Now,
oh,
the thing
100%.
I wanted to ask you, you've known him personally for years. You know, many people point this out to me. They say, look, he doesn't have to be doing what he's doing. I mean, he's a successful man. He's got a loving family, beautiful family. I mean, he could just relax and be a father and enjoy life and do whatever he wants. And yet he subjects himself freely and willingly to this unbelievable torrent of hatred and venom and daily attacks in the media, misrepresentations of his views, his policies, and his personal life. Give us an insight into what drives him. Because look, not only is he freely subjecting himself to all this, but now he's going in front of the American people and saying, I want to do it for another 4 years, you know?
I know. And I'm like, why don't you just go to one of your beautiful properties with your wonderful wife and your beautiful son, you know, Baron, and just like sit pina coladas and golf. Like, you don't need to do this anymore. But there's still work to be done, he said. So you are right. There's no president that has ever taken so much attack, abuse, filled with hatred. You know, the American people seem to hate President Trump more than they love the United States of America.
Yes.
And that's sick, and that's wrong, and that's gross, but that's a reality. So the reason why he wants to do it again for another 4 years is there's still work to be done. I do believe in my heart, if Congress would have gotten out of his way and there wouldn't have been all these obstacles and all this obstruction that he's experienced, he would have been more effective, and he would have been able to say, you know what, job well done, I'm out. Drop the mic. It's been a great 4 years. I will go down as the best president in history, probably, and walk away and go live a great life. But we're going on almost 3 years. 3 years, he's had nothing but hurdles and obstacles to jump through, and all these, you know, fake stories of collusion and whatnot, that he hasn't been able to do what he wanted to do. So he's going to be back at it. He will win again in a landslide. But, you know, the abuse has been horrible, and it's terrible. But at the end of the day, the reason why it's so bad is because President Trump isn't of the establishment. President Trump wasn't built by the media, because he was already a successful billionaire running successful companies. And the reason why the hatred, I believe, is so strong and so vicious is because most of the people who we thought had our best interest in mind are becoming a lot poorer because he's draining the swamp, because he is a man that is all about right and wrong, honesty and you know, being deceitful. And he's cleaning the swamp, and he's calling people out with no more lies, no more deception, no more stealing from the American people to pay these people to you getting, you know, paybacks. It's over. The game's over.
Now, Tana, you helped to win the state of Iowa for the president in 2016. and are now, of course, an advisor to Trump 2020. Let's talk a little bit about strategy and about what our viewers should be doing and should be saying. I'm just going to throw this out, and you tell me what you think. First of all, I watch every single one of President Trump's rallies as he has them across the country. I think I told you I was with him for the Orlando rally right in our backyard, and that was great. But I not only watch them, we broadcast them right on these platforms that we have, and we urge people to have watch parties and get other people together, watch it live, and if they can't watch it live, watch the recorded rally afterwards. We're urging people to do this every day. And what I see in these rally speeches is a combination of three things, and I'd like you to just comment on this strategically going forward with the campaign. How do we get the voters motivated to vote for him? What's the most important thing to focus on? I see three things happening. Number one, of course, he talks about all his accomplishments, and the list of accomplishments is so impressive.
It's so long. It would take us an hour to go through it.
It would. And that is despite all this obstruction from Congress and these Democrats have been doing all this nonsense with these investigations, I think primarily not because they think they're going to find anything, but because they want to distract the attention of the public away from all that he is accomplishing for America. I think that's their whole strategy in a nutshell. But there's the list of accomplishments. We have to show people their hard work in 2016 paid off. The second thing he does is he points to the dangers that the Democrats pose. If this party were to get in power, if this party were to, God forbid, take the White House and the Congress, there are really bad things that are going to happen. And then the third thing is he states in a beautiful way what we believe, what we stand
That's
for
true.
As Americans, and what the Republican Party stands for. Now, it seems to me those are three key elements of his rallies, aside, of course, from the energizing factor.
The fun.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
so going
right.
forward, what do we learn from this, and what do our viewers need to be saying and doing to motivate other voters?
Great question, and you were so right. Everything is strategic. First off, a MAGA rally is so electrifying. You have to go to one if you haven't been. It's one of the highlights of my job, and so I love to be at them. I love to warm up the crowds. And so I do the same exact thing. I encourage people to have what we're calling now MAGA meetups. So MAGA meetup is what we used to call MAGA rally, like watch parties. So have those parties either in your house, or I go to a local establishment where they have big TVs and we can get buffalo wings and have a great time. And it's wonderful. So MAGA meetups are a great thing for people to do. You all wear your Trump stuff. So it's like-minded individuals coming together. It's kind of like for people that love sports. I don't. But my family used to like the Steelers. It'd be like Steelers fans putting on their Steelers jerseys, all going to a bar, drinking beer and wearing the Steelers jerseys and watching the Steelers. Well, now we're doing that for a political event. So having the meetup parties is a wonderful thing. I love the fact that he does tout his success record. For example, what I did last night is I told the audience, oh, by the way, Donald Trump has created 3.6 million jobs for females. By the way, Donald Trump has lowered the poverty rate for females. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump has given, in his administration, has given over $200 million to women who want to study in the STEM sciences and technology. The list was, I was literally going to be there for an hour if I went through the list. And I went, light bulb, I have an idea. I'm going to put them on a little postcard. So when people come next time, hand it out to them. Then they can go down the list and whatever one excites them. You know, when I was talking about that Donald Trump has made it so that if you have a child, you can get a tax credit that is now doubled what it used to be. So you can get $2,000 back on your taxes if you have a child. Oh, that excited a lady. So maybe she would talk about that one.
Yeah.
So it's strategy. And then the last thing I would tell your viewers and listeners would be the best thing that they could do is follow somebody. If you like Father Frank, which I hope you do, share his posts. I always ask people that like to follow me and like my energy, follow me at heytana.com, or my pages are heytana on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and then like and post and share my stuff. Because
right.
the more you share whatever we're doing or somebody in the campaign that you like, respect, admire, then the more eyes get seen on that feature, and the bigger it grows. And the bigger we get, the stronger we become, and we're all better when we're larger.
Right.
So that's really the best thing that people who are watching this can take away and go, that's simple. For those of you who don't want to do what we're doing and putting yourself out there and doing the videos and all of the programming, and, you know, that's time consuming and that's costly. There's no cost in just hitting share. So
right.
That's the best and the easiest thing that you guys can do to help us.
This is great, great advice, great guidance. And obviously, we look forward to talking with you a lot more as the campaign moves forward. And boy, wouldn't it be great. I would love to be able to attend one of these President Trump rallies with you. We're going to have to figure out.
We're going to make that happen sometime. We're making that happen.
Out.
And I'm coming down to an event at Trump Doral in October 10th through the 12th. So we'll see if maybe you're around that vicinity, but it loves, and that's in Miami. So I'm a speaker down at one of the conferences for American Priority, and I'd love to see if somewhere, somehow, some way we'll connect, because
that'll be fun.
Can you imagine how great that'll be?
Yes, that'll be absolutely great. So again, everybody that's watching, you know, follow Tana. It's H-E-Y Tana, right?
Yep. Hey, Tana, like you see
Tana.
Me on the street.
Okay, great. We will certainly draw our followers to follow you in return. And thank you for being with us once again, for your passion and energy and joy and insight. And we look forward to working together as the days go on.
I appreciate it. And thank you so much. And God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.